There was an elderly woman, and she was on a busy street corner. She was confused, and she was very hesitant. She didn't want to cross because of all the heavy traffic. Finally, there was a gentleman who came up next to her, and he asked her, "Hey, can I cross the street with you?" And she gratefully took his arm and said, "Yes." But she immediately grew alarmed as he zigzagged and randomly made his way across the street to the blare of horns and the screeching of locked-up brakes. Finally, they reached the opposite curve, and she very angrily says to him, "You almost got us killed. You walk like you are blind." "I am blind," he replied. "That's why I asked you if I could cross with you." And sometimes, as we make our way through this whole journey, this whole thing that we call life, it's almost like the blind are leading the blind. We really sometimes have no idea what we're doing. Today, as we continue in this journey of repentance that we are going on, we're going to look at Luke chapter 15, verses 13 through 24. It is the story or the parable of the prodigal son. The title of our message is "The Best Robe." I'm going to ask if you would please to stand as we read through our scripture. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 13. "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. This parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son, it's probably one of the most heart-touching stories in all the Bible. It is one of my favorite parables and stories in the whole Bible. It's the story of a person who chose the way of the world over the way of God. It's interesting that the father, in verse 24, he says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Again, it's the story of a young man. He decides he's going to go out and he's going to indulge in the pleasures of sin. He's going to go and live his life. He didn't really care what God or his family thought of his decision. He wasn't really concerned about the consequences. He was just living in the here and now, doing his own thing. See, he never intended to spend all of his inheritance. He never expected that he was going to end up starving. He never planned that he would be filthy, that he would just be wearing rags. He only meant to set out and to have a good time. But you see, sin always takes you farther than you want to go. It makes you stay longer than you intend to stay, and it makes you pay more than you ever intended to pay. Sin, it binds, it blinds, and it betrays. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "The cords of his sin hold him fast." Ken Henderson, he was a traveling merchant, and he came to a town in Connecticut, Missouri, It was July of 2011, and he was selling these exotic animals. He had 50 baby alligators. Each one of them was roughly the size of a pencil, and they were cute. And everyone in this small Missouri town, they were enamored by the cuteness of these animals. He sold a good number of them there, and then he moved on. But you see, a year later, the little creatures, they weren't so cute. They had actually grown till they were about 3 feet in length. They were eating several pounds of meat each and every day. One lady who had actually bought a couple of them, she was known to take them out on walks on leashes. She thought that they were harmless. That is, until they started jumping toward her and snapping at her hands and her arms. You see, I believe it's that same way with sin. At first, it looks harmless. First, you can't see how it could possibly even hurt you. But in time, its true nature begins to take control. And what you thought you could control soon grows into a life-threatening danger, not only to yourself, but to others around you. And if you notice in verse 17 of our scripture, it says, speaking of the prodigal son, when he came to his senses. This indicates that while he was in his state of sin, while he was there doing his own thing, he wasn't thinking clearly. He was out of his mind. See, sin, it separates you from God. When people are choosing to sin, they are dead while they live. They're under God's wrath. The prodigal, he comes to his senses. He decides, I'm going to make my way home. But when did he come to his senses? Surely it must have been when he had spent, when he had squandered all of his money, when he became hungry. But it didn't do it then. It took more to open his eyes than that. It wasn't until he was without a friend, reduced to a skeleton, simply wearing nothing but dirty rags, with nothing to hear except the grunting of these hogs and the munching of husks, where he's out there in the field by himself with all these pigs, and he finally comes to his senses. John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus said, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And I believe that the prodigal, he saw what his sin had done to him, and he hated it as much as he had loved it before. Proverbs chapter 8 says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil." And I think that the reason a lot of people slip back into sin, that they keep going back there, is because they never really hated their former life. They never really hated that old sin. That's why they keep going back to it. It's like Lot's wife. You know, she had left Sodom. They're running away from Sodom as it's being destroyed, but Sodom had never left her, and so she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. True repentance is sorrow for sin against God. We usually think that our crimes against people are worse than our crimes against God, but that isn't the case. Our spiritual sins are far more numerous and far more serious than earthly sins, and they carry longer lasting consequences. Your sins, all of them, offend God. True repentance is a repentance that leads to a change of mind. It's not just changing that sinful behavior. It's changing the direction you're going, turning from sin and turning toward God. It means to view our life the way that God sees it in His Word. It says that we have all sinned. We become so sorry for that sin, for that action, for what we're doing, that we decide we are going to live opposite of that, the way that we have been living, and we turn toward God. There's a difference between simply apologizing, I feel sorry for what I've done, and repenting. It means to stop doing that and to go the other direction. Repentance, it involves an apology, but also action, an action of turning. True repentance, it's associated with a believing faith. This sorrow causes a person to yield themselves to Jesus Christ. If you feel bad about sin, but you don't trust in Jesus Christ, it's not true repentance. Repentance that doesn't go to the cross. Repentance that doesn't lead you to the foot of the cross is a repentance which cannot find the forgiveness that is only found in Christ. They're going to start talking to each other. You see, true repentance, it transforms the old sinner into a new person. The prodigal son, he had hit rock bottom. He was at the brink of death. In fact, he basically died out to himself. And all of his old plans and his old desires, you may remember, you know, through death. And then the new and the obedient son began to take place. The prodigal's father, I can just imagine him waiting and longing for his son to come home. And back then, the houses, they had flat roofs, and they would basically have a balcony up there. And I can just imagine him every morning climbing up onto the balcony and sitting there, standing there, looking out in the distance, watching for his son to come home. Then one morning, he caught a glimpse there in the distance, way off in the distance, a pitiful, emaciated beggar stumbling in the distance. Finally, he realizes it is his son. The old man, he comes racing down the stairs, running out the door. He's got tears in his eyes. His servants are chasing after him as he runs down the road. Before the son even had time to react, his father's arms were wrapped around him, hugging him, kissing him. The son, he started to recite this repentance speech, this thing that I imagine he had gone over in his head over and over again. He had practiced and practiced and practiced. But the father, he ignored all that because he knew the son's heart. He ordered the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Do you think that the prodigal needed a new robe? Yeah. I'm sure he did. He probably smelled like pigs, probably maybe even looked a little bit like them, dirty and everything. He had probably hadn't had a bath in a very long time. His clothes, they were tattered, they were falling apart. They would have been stained with the filth of his past. All of the pig slop and the things that were there. You see, his old clothes, they represented his spiritual condition. Isaiah tells us that our best righteousness is as filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And so it was the best robe that was brought and put on him. It was unmerited. It was undeserved. The prodigal son, he did nothing to earn that robe. There was nothing he could do. He could never be good enough to deserve it. He could never, ever have afforded to buy it. You see, that's the same way it is with God, with salvation. It's a free gift that's given to us. Nothing we can do to earn it. Now, the best robe, it is Christ's perfect righteousness given to us. You see, not only did Jesus suffer for our sins, but he also lived a sinless life. His righteousness, he willingly transfers over to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's why no other religion in the world, no, Buddhism or the Muslims or the Hindus, none of them can justify their followers because their best lived lives, our best lived lives, are as filthy rags in God's sight. That's why Paul says, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from works, but that which through him, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on a basis of faith. But you see, we have to accept Christ's righteousness as our own. Romans chapter 13 says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. There were a group of motion picture engineers, and they got together and they classified the 10 following sounds. Wouldn't it be awesome just to put them up there? I don't have them. I don't. The 10 most dramatic sounds on the big screen. A baby's first cry. The blast of a siren. The thunder of breakers on the rocks. The roar of a forest fire. A foghorn. The slow drip of water. The galloping of horses. The sound of a distant train whistle. The howl of a dog. And finally, the wedding march. 10 most dramatic sounds that you could hear on the big screen. You see, much like those sounds, the sound or the sight that moves God the most is the sound of a sinner who is repenting, who is coming home. Now, this parable of the prodigal son could probably better be stated the parable of the loving father. See, this prodigal's father, he runs to the sound of a prodigal who is willing to come home. I've spent the past couple of weeks sharing a little bit of my journey through this journey of repentance, this Lenten season. It hasn't been an easy one for me. It's been interesting. It started months ago and has really been highlighted through these past several weeks. See, our journey started 4 weeks ago. Remember, we took communion, we took the Lord's Supper, and we talked about the sacrifice where we look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We remembered that through communion, taking communion together. And at that point, you were deciding whether you wanted to go on this journey of repentance or not. Maybe you joined me, maybe you're still on your journey. And from the sacrifice, we moved on to surrender, where you decide, I'm going to surrender my life. God, you can look at my life. There's nothing that's off limits. You can look at everything and anything, whatever you want. Open the closet doors, go up in the attic, go down the basement. From there, we pass through death. You know, death to the old self, when God finds something and says, hey, we need to work on this area, are you willing to die to it, to surrender to him? Shared last week a little bit about taking the doors off of a closet, taking the locks off the doors, taking the walls down, removing all of that. And how God has been moving in my life and working. You see, we move through death, death to the old self, and into new life, into the newness that God has for us. I want to share with you some words. They're not mine. I borrowed them from somebody else. I've carried a burden for far too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. And I know that I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend, and so I'll run to the Father again and again and again. Now, I don't know if you decided to join me on this journey of repentance through this Lent season, but if you did, just as I did last week, I would encourage you, keep going, keep working. If God is moving, if the Spirit is moving in your life, be open. Allow God to move. Allow God to see if there's anything that is not of him. And would you be willing to run to the Father?